Okay, welcome back to another edition of the BHL Scale Help Holistic Healing Hour with your host and moderator, me, Grandpa Bell. Welcome one and all. Welcome back today at time of taping. This is a follow-up from our business mentor moment show. And encompassing in this facet, we always do mentor moments about business and life. This is kind of leaning towards the life side that will extrapolate into business, where I started talking about Gen Zers and how they're actually quite integral in marketing and branding, regardless of the commodity, the purpose, the service, what have you. And in yesterday's show, I went through some data that actually is pretty much documenting that. So I didn't realize until I did some deeper digging myself that Gen Zers' podcast discovery is growing at more than twice the rate of other age groups. So I talk a lot about this at my shows when I have guests in studio to do so, as I've now been blessed to cross the multi-generational generations as they come on the show. I've been blessed to have, you know, folks as young as in their mid-20s. And I talked about my great friend Lois, and it's all semantics now, and she teased right along with me, who actually is 10 years my senior, which means nothing in either case, other than it means a lot that we're extending the arms and the breadth over all of the generations as it pertains now for me, basically goodwill ambassadorship moving forward in the percentile of the cases. So I'm answering my own question, saying it out loud. No, I did not know that Gen Z's podcast discovery is growing at more than twice the rate of other age groups. And I find that fascinating. And I definitely want to edify myself on that and the potentiality. But this is still all about the next generation. For sure, my legacy, my granddaughter, Ada. Now, wherever, however, whenever she plugs into particularly a podcast scenario for that, isn't my impetus. I obviously mentioned that yesterday at closing when I left it with, at one point in time, as the dad would, her dad, my son, I often chuckle about one of the stories I exchanged, whatever grade level she was at, and I honestly forget, it might have even been a hockey league outside of a school league. Point being, I left it with, at one point in time, vicariously, you know, he tried to talk to Ada about playing hockey with padding and equipment and all of that. No bigger proponent of women's sports than our whole family, myself included. In that particular case, I knew immediately, and so did he, and so did he. The hovering thing is we always want more for our children, grandchildren, our legacies, and we both knew that she wasn't going to be a hockey player of her own volition. So, same premise, I left it with, would it be nirvana to think that I would have my granddaughter side by side at my podcast? And most assuredly, it would be nirvana. Is that anything's a potentiality of a reality, but it's not going to happen either. Not my premise in introducing her to all of this, and not my premise in maybe asking her for some assistance from afar. She is a member of the peer group, and so are her peers. And she's already going to help me out with one of my personal aspirations, is to learn a language, that being Mandarin. Now, again, my degree of learning it to just utilize it however I want to use it will probably be on the smaller scale for a number of reasons, but I'm already very much in its infancy, trying to form a learning phonetics and delving into that with my by choice retirement, fill the plate to nourish and enrich my own mental health life, but my retirement, the way I chose to do it, to self-enrich, self-enlightening, broaden my scope and understanding of lots of things, most assuredly this world. So I didn't know that Gen Z's podcast discovery is growing at more than twice the rate of the other age groups. I most assuredly know it now. And in 10 seconds, I'd like to come back and expand upon that a little bit more from where we left off yesterday. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back, and let's dig right into actual numbers and so forth as it pertains to Gen Zers growing at twice, more than twice, the rate of other age groups as it pertains to branding and marketing. When you think of typical podcast listeners especially, you may, you know, broad-based out there. We all might go to an older demographic in some instances, but the data tells us a different story. In fact, of all the age groups, Gen Z is actually discovering podcast content, at a rate of more than double that of any other age group. In the bar graphs with the studies that have been documented, ages 13 through 17, they are actually medianing out average amongst that group, how they monitored it, at 11%, where ages 18 to 24 are 4%, ages 25 to 34 are 2%, ages 35 to 44 are 3%, and ages 45 to 54 are 5%, and ages 55 to 64 are 4%, and then there's our old cronies like myself, ages 65 plus, 4%. So podcast discovery growth by age group, they looked at the percent change from the average number of podcast shows that were discovered from April 1st to June 30th of 2021. So a couple of, you know, years ago at the, you know, time of the measuring of this statistic to the number of podcast shows discovered from April 1st to June 30th of 2022. So they basically did a full year's study from calendar years 2021 to 2022 from June 30th of those respective years, you know, April 1st to June 30th in 2021, and then a full calendar year later, the same period of time for each age group. And that's the bar graphs that they came up with at that study within the industry and within the podcasting over a year ago. So from completion rates to favorite genres, Spotify in particular, where my show's housed, is put together everything you need to know about your audience's listening trends and how you can use them to level up your podcast, which obviously what I am doing. We'll take another 10-second break and we'll take an overall look at Gen Zers out there in the marketplace. We'll be right back. And thanks for joining us. Okay, welcome back, and let's keep this to about 15 more minutes. I may go unfettered, and that'll keep us at somewhere around 30 for today's show. Thanks for being here, as always. Continuing with Gen Z statistical data and how it pertains to marketing to that generation, for that generation, and what that may or may not mean moving forward as they maturize along the chronological ladder within their own individual lives. So I'm going to quote from Forbes magazine, in particularly, their version of five lessons on marketing as it pertains to Gen Z. Elliot Padfield, Forbes Council's member and Forbes Business Council member post. This is an article authored by, I don't know, it's the name's Elliot, so you decide if that's a man, woman, or whatever, but he authored it on April 15th, 2021. Quoting verbatim from that article as it pertains to this subject matter, Elliot Padfield is a senior partner and marketing strategist at Padfield Media. He specializes in assisting brands connect with Generation Z. Great marketing is all about keeping up with your target customers and their communities. Social media can help you do this, but in his experience, that would be Elliot Padfield from the Forbes article dated back in 2021, continuing with his wording from his article. Social media can help you do this, but in his own experience, that being Elliot, as a marketing strategist, businesses of all sizes struggle to keep up with trends and integrate seamlessly into target communities. Targeting Generation Z, or those that are actually or were born after 1996, thus is the Gen Z categorization, and I believe the cutoff is between 2017. So if they were born from 1996 to 2017, you, them, were applicable. They are indeed Gen Zers under that premise, determined by those dates. And however, the lines of distinction all the way up the chronology, way up to us old ancient relics of baby boomers at the far end of that generation, and then going backwards all the way back down. How relevant that cyclical cycle is in the world of marketing. That's a couple of interjections by me. Now continuing with the said article, just a couple of paragraphs, again by Elliot from Forbes 2 years ago, quoting directly, cited as it appears on the World Wide Web. Despite some organizations making significant investments to reach this demographic, many still fail to tap into this valuable audience that gains direct purchasing power seemingly every day. As a result, he wants to share five tips on how your business can successfully connect with Gen Z. His first example is create context native content. By far the most common error he's seen brands make, in his article on Forbes magazine 2 years ago, continuing verbatim, viewing social media platforms as simply different channels of distribution rather than the diverse societies that they are. Each platform comes with its own customs and traditions, and fitting in is critical for the success of your paid or organic strategy. His words, 2 years ago, cited from Forbes article on the World Wide Web as we speak. My interjection, couldn't concur with Elliot anymore. 1000% agree, concur. This is his article, his words, 2 years ago. I'm simply, definitely voicing my opinion, but I do indeed concur totally. Continuing verbatim from his article, his words from 10 years ago. Again, I'm simply reiterating and narrating the article. Just to make that emphatically clear, there's a lot of self-imposed gray area out there on a lot of areas now. So sometimes we have to say these things to redundancy and walk away scratching our heads. If you need to say it five more times, continuing. verbatim. This leads us to the number one, always produce creative assets specifically for the platforms you're using. It's common to see content used on TV or other social media platforms cut down and re-edited. His words verbatim from his article 2 years ago. Mine right now, definitely overstating the obvious, but concur. Continuing, the easy assumption to make is that content that was successful via one channel will be successful everywhere. However, that isn't always the case, and curating your own content for the platform you're on is essential, no matter which generation you're trying to reach. Forbes magazine, quoting Forbes.com, y'all know how the backslashes are ridiculously long. You guys know how to surf the net and find that specific article. I'm going to let you do that. We're going to take a quick 10-second break. I'm going to finish this thing out in less than 10 minutes when we come back with some more observations on the baby boomer side of life and this old man, as it all ties in to how I'm continuing to market my podcasting show, most definitely crossing all generations via the provocative guests that I've had within all of those stratas and looking for input from those that are indeed in that age bracket. The first one that comes to mind is my own granddaughter. To whatever level it materializes, to my earlier point, will she be sitting side by side as a co-host of my podcast or not? That would be my aspirations for her, vicariously in a Nirvana-ish world. But yeah, that would be awesome. Is that going to happen? Probably not. Just like when her father was hoping for the best in one isolated case, living vicariously through his daughter, always wanting the best. No harm, no foul. But the reality of her being a hockey player to any degree at that time and a podcaster at this time isn't what either of the two scenarios is and or was about. But I'll most assuredly ask for her creative elements amongst her own peer group. Their observations, what they think, where they, how they approach things and what have you, for fodder that I can try to connect more so. Quick 10-second break. We'll wrap this up on marketing to the generations, whatever, in life, in business, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, Main Street Portland, Maine, Main Street USA, Main Street around the world. Communal arm in arm, revamping, rejuvenating all economies and situations through all strata of the history of the planet. Not sure about podcasting when it wasn't even relevant 200 years ago, or Gen Zers that were in no way, shape, or form classified as such. But there was still a faction existent in that age bracket then, now, hopefully moving forward, and all the other chronologies as well. All right, let's take that 10-second break, and we'll come back with some closing thoughts and where this show's continuing to go, moving forward, and the essence behind it. Thanks for joining us. Okay, welcome back, and let's close this thing out. Thanks for being here. However you got here, thanks for doing so. If you fast-forwarded to this point, we all do that. That's great. However, if it spirit moves you, you may want to review this as it is now an episode from yesterday, today. Moving forward, we're going to try to continue in this vein. So closing it out, I'm going to flash back to 1971. I was then a junior in high school. That's how long ago it was. Alvin Lee, 10 years after. Great group, great musician. Talked about him many times. Had the great pleasure of seeing him in a great venue locally many years ago. For this episode, I thought it was so profound to flash back at that time frame and that song in society and the young people that would have been classified as Gen Zers that weren't then, before that became in vogue or whatever. And that was basically a protest song about the Vietnam War. But it was so true to the statement of society, how things were, how important young people's opinions were, as always, and how much they were put by the wayside, misconstrued, seen as anarchy, what have you. So, the lyrics of the song are out there. I put a link in the description of those of the baby boomer age that joined the show as well. Most assuredly, no 10 years after, at least in name and essence, and Alvin Lee to whatever degree. And everywhere is freaks and Harry's, dykes and fairies. Tell me, where is sanity? Just one of the opening lines from the great 71 hit, I'd Love to Change the World. Alvin Lee, everywhere is freaks and Harry's, dykes and fairies. Tell me, where is sanity? Lyrics of everywhere is freaks and Harry's, dykes and fairies. Tell me where it's at. Tax the rich, feed the poor, till there are no rich no more. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do, so I'll leave it up to you. Population keeps on breeding, nation bleeding, still more feeding, economy. Life is funny, skies are sunny, bees make honey, who needs money? Monopoly. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do, so I'll leave it up to you. That's well into about 2 minutes and 8 seconds of a 3 minute and 46 second song. Oh yeah, Alvin Lee. The lyrics of 10 years after, I'd love to change the world. The link to one of the many videos of him actually performing that song. So prophetic for that era of time. So prophetic and prophetic about young people at that time. World pollution, there's no solution. Institution, electrocution. Just black and white, rich or poor, them and us, stop the war. That's what it was directed to, Vietnam, in that time frame. And society as a whole. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do, so I'll leave it up to you. Thanks for listening. Hopefully, thanks for watching that said video to take in the ambiance of the appreciation of the music, the man, the message. Now, some 52 years ago, take away the Vietnam War. Listen to those lyrics. So appropriate for where we are now and how we must listen to Generation Z, not only as it pertains to marketing and broadcasting and podcasting, most assuredly so, but because they are the wave of the future. Bye-bye for now, and may God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace, everybody.